Hi, my name is Amanda Panacea, and you're listening to the Healer Revolution podcast. This is a community for self-healers, biohackers, practitioners, and any other helping professionals. You're in the right place if you're seeking conversations about how pain becomes passion, the connection between physical, energetic, mental, and our spiritual self, finding your body's ancient wisdom, the latest biohacking technologies, clinical research, and if you just want to nerd out about complex biochemistry and quantum physics. But this is also for entrepreneurs who seek infinite abundance and a supportive community. So pour a cup of King Coffee or Sistis Tea and let's join the revolution. Hi, welcome everyone to this episode of the Healer Revolution. I am your host, Amanda Panacea, and today I'm really excited to dive into this really interesting conversation with Kate Zoltan. She is the CEO and founder of the Undo app, which is a meditation app. Hi, Kate. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Amanda. Good to meet you. And yeah, really thankful to be here.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this business? How did you find meditation? What is the big story behind all of this?
Yeah. So when I was in my mid-20s, I'd say, I had some mental health issues that I was trying to resolve and looking around for a solution to those mental health issues. So I'd had, depression. I was depressed on antidepressants, seeing therapists and, trying everything under the sun as you do, trying to figure out what's wrong with you. And nothing seemed to be working. And eventually I met a friend who I hadn't seen for a long time, and she suggested I go on a meditation retreat. And as it turned out, the meditation retreat was run by Matthew Zoltan, who is now my husband, but he obviously wasn't my husband at the time. And so he taught me natural meditation. And as soon as I started meditating, it just resonated really, really strongly with me and with my body. And it's a body-based meditation. It's all about the senses and feeling and resolving your feelings and feeling your feelings rather than avoiding them, distracting from them. And that sat really well with me. And consequently, I just, got into it like a fish into water. And then I started healing all of my issues, all of my mental health issues. And then I had physical issues as well. And because the approach is reconnecting the body and the mind, it covered all of those things for me. So time went on and I just kept sitting. Like, I literally sat every single day ever since I did that first meditation retreat and started healing things. And my life was changing rapidly and improving rapidly. And then I realized that the information that this guy was teaching us, Matthew, was just unheard of anywhere else. It was like the total opposite of what you get taught as a kid, what your parents tell you, what the doctors tell you, what society tells you. And very few people knew about it. And as I healed and as I improved, I just figured out that I couldn't not just keep it to myself and keep it within the small group of people who had these understandings and had learnt from Matthew. So I consequently built the app because I figured we could then reach a bigger market, a broader market. And I also figured that if I needed that, then so many more people are going to be looking for that. And the current current step status of the meditations that are out there at the moment, especially in the app market, are quite superficial and very gamified. And there's a lot in those apart from just the meditation that are not actually helping people as much as it could. And that's why I built the app, because I wanted to get the world to know that there is another way to meditate, basically. Yeah. So this is a new type of meditation. So there's a lot of education that we need to do to educate the public about other meditations in order to understand this meditation. So that's what got me started, and that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I'm, yeah, sharing with everybody, so that they can understand that they can actually, that you can actually heal yourself, that mental illness and physical illness like injuries and pain, they're very much the same thing. They all boil down to the same thing, and that's understanding your thoughts, understanding yourself deeply, and just feeling your feelings instead of distracting or avoiding from them.
Yeah. And I think that that is really common. When people hear the word meditate, you kind of immediately think of sitting and thinking of nothing or trying not to have any thoughts. And it, people have a lot of resistance to that, because that's not typically what what lots of different types of meditations are teaching you. Can you go into like the types of meditation and maybe why they're all different?
Yeah, so the way I explain it is most meditations are thought-based. So they're both technique-based, traditional mindfulness. You've got your mantra meditation, your Vipassana meditation, you've got visualization, you've got all these different types of meditations, plus natural meditation. But all of the others apart from natural meditation are based in thought. So you're literally adding something to yourself, because it's all based in this realm of, I use the word superficial and shallow, but that's not a bad way to describe it. That's not a negative. That's just literally, that's simply what it is. So it's superficial thought. And if you're sitting there just thinking about thinking, you're just creating a state inside of yourself, and anybody can do that. So you can just imagine anything and you'll become that state. With the meditation that this natural meditation is, it's a body-based meditation. So you're grounding yourself in your body. You're anchoring yourself within yourself. So the technique and thought-based meditations and traditional meditations are an outside-in approach, whereas body-based meditation and this meditation is not to do with thought at all, actually. It's entirely to do with feelings and feeling the sensations and whatever your experience inside of yourself in your body. So therefore, it's an inside-out approach to meditation.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
I love that.
Deeper into that if you want to. So actually, as a consequence, the thought-based and shallow, what I call technique and thought-based meditations, it's like they're on the horizontal, and you literally can't go deep with thought-based meditation because it's all in your mind. Whereas the body-based meditations, it's like a vertical. So you can just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into your system, into your body, and into yourself, and into the understanding of yourself. So in that way, you know, you can think about yourself, but that doesn't show you what you are. That doesn't help with self-understanding. You need to experience yourself to understand yourself. So that's the difference.
Yes, I love this. I teach this in a similar way with my clients. I use the concept of the five channels of awareness. And one of those is sensations, and one of those is emotions, and one of those is posture and movement. And then there is the imagination and the thoughts, but they're way up here at the very top, the more conscious. Whereas a lot of the exercises we do, we have to get down into these unconscious, subconscious ways that our body and our sensations are manifesting to understand what they mean and how to feel them and how to express them. Because if we never fully express them, then they just stay trapped and causing disease and stagnation and all of that. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, lovely. And you mentioned like mantra type meditations. The type on your app are the body based. Give us an example, or give us some of the science behind why this works, like maybe from a neuroplasticity lens as well.
Well, we don't actually suggest that this is, or we sort of don't really we don't actually compare ourselves to science, or we don't think that science is related to this type of meditation, because as I said before, it goes beyond thinking, and therefore it goes beyond science, because science is, you know, it's all about thinking, it's all about testing, it's all about looking at something in a test tube, or if you like, as an example, and trying to understand life through that. Whereas with this experience, or with this type of meditation, you are your own experience, and that is vast. So that encompasses the whole of the world and the whole of your environment, because we are connected creatures. We are nature. We are animals. And we can't look at ourselves like you could look at your small finger and say, oh, I'm enlightened because that finger exists there, or something like this. But you're not encompassing all of you. You're not including all of you, and you're not including your situation. You're not including your life. You're not including your friends. You're not including where you work. You're not including all of the rest of your life. So consequently, we try not to go down the path of comparing ourselves to science or doing anything like this. We're literally just sitting as a body. We're feeling our senses. We're including and trying to connect and stay connected to the world and everybody around us, and being sensitive to that. So I tend not to try and compare to science. That would probably be my answer to that. So I don't particularly like going down that path of comparing to science, because I, you know, we're looking at the bigger picture and experiencing the bigger picture. And if you just look at one small corner of a picture, you can't understand it. So that's how I compare science to this approach to meditation. And that's probably the biggest difference. Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think there's so much there just is not quantifiable in the way that we heal. And I try to explain to everyone, you have all the answers that you need. And it sounds so cliche, but when you go through this process yourself, you really start to realize it, you get it. Oh, after a while, it ends up like clicking. So it sounds like for you, this type of meditation really clicked right away. What about for people who have a really difficult time with this, or it may be triggering for them to do a meditation like this? What would you recommend for people that experience that resistance or that activation, instead of like a aha?
Yeah. So what we tend to find most people do with this meditation is they really, really, it resonates really, really quickly, because it's really based on the intrinsic nature of the human being. So if you're a human, then you're going to get it. You're going to understand what we're talking about, and you're going to want to learn more about it. But as a consequence of that, it does trigger people, but in a way that we support people through that process. So we tend to, if it's triggering or it's challenging your belief systems and stirring up old trauma or pains or this sort of thing, what we just suggest is to just go through that and just literally feel your way through it. Try your best not to react. And there's a lot of support in the app, by the way, that helps people get through this. We have a lot of meditations on resistance and just sitting still and feeling the urges in your body to move. All of this are resistances to your pain. But I guess the biggest thing that people probably don't understand is that the thinking process around your pain is very resistant to actually being exposed, if you like. So that's why there's a lot of education in the app around all of this, because it's your thinking that tricks you. And if your thinking can trick you, then it will just talk you out of not doing it. It's not actually the truth of what your body wants. All your body wants to do is heal. That's really the only thing your body wants is to heal, recover, and be its optimal self. So the tricks of your mind and understanding your thoughts is a really, really large part of the education of this natural meditation. But it's interesting, you know, it's so like when you start to understand the way that you think and the nature of your thoughts, it just, for me anyway, it just hooks me in. It's just like, wow, is this what I'm actually doing to myself? Like, this is how I'm destroying my life, basically. If I'm thinking like this, then no wonder my life is a mess, or, no wonder all of this awful stuff happens to me, or I attract these people into my life. So it just gets super interesting. For me, it did anyway, and for a lot of other people, it does. Yeah, but a lot of it is, and that this is why we called it Undo, actually, the app, because you need to break down the beliefs and ideas and all of these expectations that society puts on us to be a certain way and to do this way. You know, like it even boils down to, you know, like, oh, you've got to eat your food with a specific fork or a specific knife, and, you know, all of this etiquette and all of this stuff. It just limits a person endlessly, and all of this has an impact on the body. It all has an effect on the body, and it all has an effect then on the way that you are treated and the way that you treat others. And this is what we're trying to undo. We're trying to help people understand the effects of all these limitations that are constantly imposed on us.
Yeah, I like to explain this as like, as if you were a blank canvas when you were born, and then all of your experiences are all of these different layers of paint, and most of them are survival based and keep us repeating these same patterns, trying to quote unquote be safe. And so this learning, this healing process is kind of like peeling back each layer piece by piece to understand these survival patterns that are in play from birth, from pre 2 years old, and starting to figure out who are we really without all of these survival strategies that we don't need anymore.
Yeah, it is intense, and it's a lot of them get through also, even on a really kind of subconscious level, because of the way that you're treated. Like, you don't even need words to tell a person that, you know, you don't like them. You don't need words to tell them that you think that they're lesser than you. It's just in your actions and the way that the tone of your voice, or, you know, there's so many different sort of, you know, subliminal messages that are also coming at us constantly. And as you would know, with all the advertising, and, you know, you've got the gorgeous model, and, oh my God, I don't fit into that that product or whatever, you know. It's just endless, and it's, yeah, it comes thick and fast. So it's really, really refreshing, if you can have a tool that can actually recover that and help you see through all of that so that you can be your natural self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell us about how the body is so important because of its experiencing like all these things from the past, but now.
Can you ask the question go into that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I find that the body-based meditations, they're so helpful for like rewiring these agreements that we made decades ago, because the body is still reacting to an experience from 20 years ago. And so when we do the body-based meditations now, we're helping to understand how we're reacting to current events, but in this way that's old, decades old. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, got it now. So basically, I guess I need to talk about memory, because the way we're treated and the way that people treat us, or the way we treat ourselves, but more I'll just go into the way that people treat us, it has an effect. And that effect gets stored in the body. And that storage in the body is known as memory. So whenever something triggers that effect or looks similar to what that effect has been, it gets triggered, and it keeps getting triggered until you actually can relieve that tension in the body. So with this meditation, you're literally feeling the tension in your body and the sensations that come out of that memory in that sensation, and resolving it there, then and there. Sometimes it'll take, you know, 2 minutes, sometimes it'll take 2 years, depending on the trauma and fear that has been associated with that event, and which is held and lodged in that memory, and also how much you've suppressed it and reacted to it. So it can take a long time for your for you to break down the reaction that is around that effect or that tension and or that memory, whichever one you want to call it. And yeah, so basically that's what the natural meditation is doing, and that's how these tensions then go on to manifest into, you know, like a sore elbow or a mental illness even, because the mental and physical are exactly the same thing. They're so deeply connected. So you need to approach it from that perspective, that whatever's coming up as a feeling in your system is a mental feeling, is a mental aspect of it, or whatever is happening in your elbow or that pain in your body is the physical aspect. But within that physical aspect, there is going to be the mental as well. And that's why we've got in the app, when it's all about really reconnecting the body and the mind in the app. We've got a specific section on, well, firstly, we've got body meditations, but we've also got very deep understanding that is applicable to any human, but any human, because we're all the same. Ultimately, pain is the ultimate leveler and the ultimate equalizer. So in the app, you can go and look up your afflictions, either mental or physical, and then get the understanding, like the cognitive understanding of how that relates back to your system and your body. So that, and in that way, you can recover and start getting more understanding of yourself. And then as the pain is coming out of that feeling, or just the feeling is being resolved, you can have a little bit more cognitive thought about what, how that is affecting you in your life now. And then you've got the opportunity to change that, or to just feel your way through that and not react to it. And then that's what brings about the change. And that is like true change. That's not superficial change where you're manipulating your thoughts and having positive thinking and trying to change your thoughts with your thoughts. That's bringing about physical change in your body. So in that way, it's complete and it's long, long lasting. Yeah.
Yeah, you brought up a great point. I always like to point out, nobody's ever changed with just positive thinking alone. Can you talk about why that doesn't really work?
Yeah, well, I can actually. So positive thinking is actually a sneaky negative. So if you're thinking that, oh, I'm beautiful, then underneath that, there is an undermining thought that you're ugly. So in that way, that's why positive thinking won't work, because you're constantly just compounding the thought that you're ugly by pretending that you think you're not. So in that way, until you resolve the feeling or feel the feeling that you think that you're ugly, then you're not going to change anything. You're just having to repeat the positive thinking to try to make yourself feel better. So it's like a band-aid. So it just doesn't really work. I mean, it can work on superficial, superficial things, but when it comes to things, you know, beliefs about yourself, judgments about yourself that are deep, it just won't cut it. No.
Yeah. And people like in the therapy community will call this shadow work. And there's a couple of different terms for it, but ultimately, the saying feel to heal, it kind of encompasses this. Like, you have to actually feel the original thought without having the judgment and the logic, like, that's silly, I shouldn't think that, or I don't really think that, do I?
And, yeah, because people are afraid of their thoughts, aren't they? Most people are just so fearful of their thoughts and think, and most people think, or we're taught to think really, that if we feel our feelings, and if we go a little bit deeper into our thoughts, that they're going to get worse. But in actual fact, it's the other way around. If you feel your feelings, they're there to be felt, and then they can recover. Then you can recover and the feelings get resolved. And then if you go deeper into your thoughts, if you actually challenge them and go, well, where has that belief actually come from? Where has that thought come from? And generally you find, especially the negative thoughts, they've never come from you, not originally. They will have always come from somebody outside, some influence outside, something, some way you've been treated. So that isn't you. That's somebody else actually imposing influence and thoughts on you. So when you realize that, it's such a relief. Like, you're like, oh, this is cool. Okay, so I didn't make that thought, so therefore I don't need to have that thought. You're giving yourself permission to go, no, fuck you, I'm not doing this anymore. It totally gives you your power back.
Yeah. I always tell people when I was little, I didn't realize I was fat and ugly until someone told me that I was. And then I was like, I am. And I, you know, then of course went down the spiral of thinking that I was for many, many years after that. So it makes perfect sense.
There's a lot about life that people just don't understand, or especially this fast-paced life. You know, you guys have got it really, really hard. Like when I grew up and there wasn't so much coming at me as a kid, I sort of had a chance. But with your kids nowadays, with just nonstop input of information, of conditioning, of ideas and social, and this is how you've got to be. And, you know, it's... I don't know how you guys are going to survive, honestly. That's part of the reason I built the app, because it's, you guys are going to need it. Honestly, I just can't see how you can get through without things like this.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 17, and it was that Nokia phone. So I also was like the last generation of like people that didn't have handheld computers all of the time, with what you're supposed to look like and what's supposed to be cool and all the reasons why you're not. But I think there's a big backlash with that now, of people that are going into like, I just want to own a farm. My kids aren't going to be allowed to have devices. I think there's more and more people that are realizing that that is so much more better for mental health and physical health eventually also. That I think the bubble will burst eventually. I think there'll be two types of people: the ones that have just like engulfed themselves in technology and suffer from all the diseases, and then the people who kind of are like, we're going back to nature. This makes more sense to us.
Yeah. I don't know how big the movement is. I keep hearing about it, and obviously I'm on the natural sort of the movement. And silly me, I got myself stuck in the tech industry, but that's life. That's where I'm at right now, and I've just got to live with that decision I made. So I'm on definitely on the nature side, and I can't wait till I can literally throw my computer on the ground. It is so addictive, honestly. It's very hard to put down, and that's even for me. I even say that, you know, it's hard. I mean, I always want to get off it, and I'm very always happy to get off it, but everything is based on that thing nowadays. So it's very hard to avoid it now.
Yep. I do everything virtually. So I am on a computer all day long, and then creating your own content and marketing. It's all too much. And I agree. I cannot wait for the time my business is to the point where everyone can do all that stuff for me, and I will just make the content for a short period of time and then hop right off. So, but I do think like with your, like you've created an app, the biggest drawback I feel for the people that I work with, and even myself, is convenience and the ability to just find everything you need kind of in one place, instead of, oh, well, I learned this thing over here, and then I have this person who teaches me this, and then I have this practitioner who does this, and then I have to log into this app to find that one thing, but over here is where I get the other thing, and then it's too overwhelming and people don't do any of it. So tell us about like how the setup of the app is. Is there like a program where you have to go through the education and then this type of meditation, or is it like just a big collection of these meditations?
Yeah. So no, what we've done is create like a flow where you can literally start the app, and then you just continue through the whole flow of the chapters. So we've got core chapters is the basis of the education. And within those chapters, we've put in like grounding meditations to start with, like a 5-minute meditation before you start the educational side. And then it's broken down into bite-sized pieces. So you can do like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, however long, how much time you've got during the day. And it doesn't really matter if you break it up a little bit in terms of, you know, do 10 minutes and then don't do 10 minutes till the next day or, you know, 3 days later, because it actually gives you time to digest the information. So it's really, really heavy and dense with education. Like there's so many levels that you can come back and do it again and just not even thought that you've done it the first time before. It is so thick with information or with gems and you know, information and instruction on how to live life and understand yourself and understand life. So the chapters, yeah, you start from the first chapter and go all the way through to chapter 14. It's got guided meditations plus active meditations, which are like exercises that you apply to your day, as you know, and in your life. And then we've got like a don't go deeper, which is more education, like a deeper learning of the original or the first part of the chapter. And then like a recap at the end. And then we also have the, so you go through the chapters. So it's literally set and forget. You can just press autoplay and it will just take you from the first chapter all the way through to the last. And then we've got other little areas in, and it's all a singular focus. So it's not, it's all written by Matthew. It's all the same content. It's all the same theme. We didn't really want to have collaborators in or different, you know, methods or techniques in there. So we've kept it really, really pure, really, really distilled. And yeah, it's like maximum information for minimum input, but it is a very experiential app. So it kind of blows people away most of the time because they don't really understand that you can get that experience from an app. And that is because of the way that it's written. And it's all based on you understanding yourself. So you're actually getting the understanding in yourself. Again, it's all the inside out approach. And that is, yeah, that's heavily kind of pushed in the app for you to always be looking at yourself, always understanding yourself, always, we're always trying to help you stop the reaction. And there's so many, there's, you know, there's 13 different topics. So, you know, we go through judgment, beliefs, senses, feeling, pain and illness, significance of pain. There's maturing your meditation, and the best one is right at the end, which is stop harming yourself, because it's so important to understand it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. So there's a like a comprehensive chapter at the end on that. And then there's also the body-mind connection as well. So as I explained earlier, there's that aspect of it as well, because it is the body-mind connection is the really the intrinsic understanding of really connecting back to yourself, connecting back to others, and connecting with your life. And that is really the starting point for all of this, is you being able to connect with yourself and like yourself and be yourself exactly as you are.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. I'm excited to try it. So something that I struggled with pretty significantly, and so I attract a lot of people who are kind of in the same boat, is when you kind of have cut off the body, you're just in the head, the body is too dangerous or too painful, or you were taught that you shouldn't be so emotional maybe when you were young. And so it's hard to understand what you're feeling. I believe the technical term is the alexithymia, where you literally like cannot understand your feeling. And so a lot of people in this boat, oftentimes they'll gain the understanding of how they're feeling from how other people are feeling around them and kind of adopt that. And so part of my healing journey in this space was actually understanding how I feel. And I still struggle with emotions a lot. Like when I'm working or when I'm, you know, doing all day, I'm a big doer. It's become a practice to kind of connect with, wait a minute, how am I feeling? I haven't checked in with myself in a really long time. What is the emotion I'm feeling today? And it's still very like, I don't feel any emotion. I'm just doing my work. Like there's no emotion here. Does the app kind of help with allowing or understanding like how to feel these emotions. Does that make sense?
So I'll just clarify whether we're talking about the same thing with feelings and emotions, because the way we understand feeling and emotion is that feelings are pretty much whatever sensation is going on inside of your body in its purest form, whereas emotion is a mixture of feeling and reaction. So as soon as you start reacting to a feeling, it amplifies it or exaggerates it. So in that way, as soon as you're reacting to a feeling, then you're not actually feeling it. You're feeling the thought process that has just been created around that feeling. So I'll just tell you a little bit about reactions, or how I'm explaining what I mean by a reaction. So a reaction is when you feel a feeling and you don't like it, and then you start either complaining about it or trying to avoid it or trying to distract from it. You just don't want to go near it. This is what we call a reaction. And as soon as that happens, you'll still be healing, but you're not healing in the most effective way. If that's not, there's not a right and there's never a wrong. So it doesn't matter. Everybody reacts, and everybody, you know, has feelings that they find really hard to feel. So really, just coming back to the feeling and feeling it, no matter what it is, whether it's emotion, if there is a story that is going on with that feeling, then all you need to do is either challenge the story by questioning the story. And, you know, if you've got fear around that, then just question the fear and say, well, what am I really afraid of? Is this a life or this situation? What is going to happen if I feel this feeling? So there's that sort of challenging of the feeling. But then if you just keep coming back to the feeling, but you think that you're not feeling, then just continue to keep feeling the feeling, and just drop the thought of, oh, am I feeling this feeling, or am I just numb? Because numbness, again, is a sensation. A lot of people, when they start the app or they start this approach to feeling their feelings, they'll find that they're very, very numb. And that can be a feeling that you might feel for, you know, like months, because we are so disconnected as a society nowadays. And it does take a long time to figure out whether you're feeling the feeling or thinking about the feeling. So just all I would suggest is just keep doing the app. Don't think about getting it right or wrong. Don't worry about if you're getting it right or wrong. Just continue with the app, and eventually through the education and through the specific type of meditation that we're doing, which is entirely in the body, it's nothing to do with thinking, you will figure it out. And we do have actually a very big, good support structure around the app as well. You know, we've got a Telegram channel, we've got Instagram, all the, you know, social, that side of thing. So you can always contact us. If somebody emails us with questions, we answer them. So there's always that as well. And we have like regular webinars and things like that, so people can jump on calls with us. And yeah, we've got a big support structure purely because it is a totally revolutionary way to meditate. It is so different to traditional and technique and thought-based meditations, and people are just sort of, how can this work? You know, they've got a lot of questions around it because it's so new, you know, it's so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you mentioned your husband is the creator of the meditations. What's his background? How did he find this work?
Yeah, so he's got a very interesting background, actually. He was a monk for 7 years around about from the age of 18 up to 27. And he became a yogi monk, which in a tradition that was very, very strict and very controlled. And after about 4 years of applying this thought process, which he always says was self-hypnosis, his body sort of started to shrug it off. It wasn't fitting in with his body. So his body started having contortions, and then once all this happened, he started questioning what was happening and the hypocrisy of the religious order. And then consequently, he started challenging the people in the religious, in this religious arrangement that he was in. And eventually he got thrown out because he was hitting too hard on the deep questions that they just didn't want to answer and they didn't want to explain to him. So they threw him out. But he was very skilled at healing before he went in as into being a monk. And once he left the order, he just started massaging because he didn't know what to do. He had no money. He'd given his whole life to this organization. And so he literally had to start all over again. So he set up a clinic, a massage clinic, and started massaging people. This is in Perth in Western Australia. And consequently, he started healing people. And then this is how he discovered the body-mind connection. So he discovered the body-mind connection back in the late 80s, early 90s. So it was around about the same time that Louise Hay discovered all of this, but he did it in Australia. And so consequently what happened was he was massaging people, and, you know, he had the busiest clinic in Australia. He was booked out for 3 months. He was doing 40 massages a week. And, you know, over time, people were coming through. He's massaging like their shoulder and then somebody's lower back, and the next person comes in and that person's talking about something to do with their shoulder. And then the next person comes in and he's massaging their shoulder and they start talking about the same thing. And so he literally started to see the patterns of thinking that were behind that particular part of the body. And that's when he discovered the body-mind connection. So he wrote a book on this, and then people started asking him also to teach them how to meditate. But he knew that he couldn't teach them how to meditate as a yogi monk because he didn't agree with it and because it didn't actually really work. So he set about to demystify meditation and started running meditation retreats and then discovered how to really explain this body-mind connection and your understanding your thoughts and all of this. And that's how it came about. And then 15, 20 years on, just trying to think of the right dates, but eventually we got married, and then we had some time out, and then we decided to build the app because we wanted to get, well, actually I wanted to get his, well, he wanted to, always wanted to get his work out as well, but I really had a passion for getting his work out on a bigger scale than we had ever done before. And the app suited that purpose. You know, I saw Headspace, you know, in 2015 or something, and just realized that, yeah, if they can do it with the quality of meditation that they're doing, then yeah, we should be able to outdo that and teach people a new way to meditate with the more focus on the quality of your thoughts. Yeah.
Awesome. Incredible. Yeah. What a good story. And it definitely has the history and the personal experience to create something like this, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been meditating now for 24 years. Matthew's been meditating for 42 years. And yeah, some of the team, even the Lucia, the girl that you saw earlier, she's only 25 years old, but she's been running, or she's been sitting on meditation retreats since she was 14. So she's of our, you know, content creators and content managers. So because she's got such a rich and deep understanding of the actual approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. And so this is kind of brings us to my other favorite topic, is how has healing, or how has being so passionate about helping others understand themselves, actually made your life better, like from a financial standpoint and even from a lifestyle standpoint? Because I think this is everyone's goal, right? We want to be in a field that we love and are passionate about, that gives us fulfillment, but we also want to have the lifestyle that is conducive to how we want to live too.
Yeah, we do. We always do.
Everybody does, right?
Yeah. So I would say if I think back to, you know, like even 5 or 10 years ago, when you've got a lot of pain and when you've got mental illness, it's really hard to relax. So by healing your pain and understanding yourself in such a deep way, I think this really allows you to relax a lot more than you ever could have before. So when for me anyway, when I'm in a more relaxed state, then I'm just more functional. Like I'm able to pick and choose what I want to do with clarity. I can focus more. I'm more productive. So as a consequence, all of this just allows my life to run more smoothly and gives me more of a feeling that life is in my control, not life is running me. So that would be one aspect. The other aspect is we're born with our original self is an intelligent being. It's not until we get affected by life and harmed by life that this smothers our natural intelligence. So by healing your pain, you become a lot more intelligent, or you don't actually become, that's not the way to put it. You don't become more intelligent, but you kind of do. But more what happens is the pain that is smothering your intelligence, it starts to dissipate. And as you break down the pain and all your fears, then your intelligence is more accessible, is how I would say. So in that way, it just gives you the freedom and the empowerment, I suppose, that you're in control of your life, that yes, I do have choices in what I do, and I do have choices in the decisions that I make. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. And what about, like, even in your own life, running a company like this, I'm sure you're not behind a computer all day. I'm sure you still make time to do the things that help you kind of stay in a healthier, more regulated mental health state.
Yeah, so I'm very careful how much time I spend in front of the computer. And I know I shouldn't, because apparently I'm meant to be green. I shouldn't be printing things, but I do, because for my health and for my eyes and for my sake, I prefer to work on paper than I do on the computer. And that's not because I can't, but I try to limit the time that I spend on the computer, because I know I know the effect it has on me. So that's one thing that I do. I do limit the hours that I work as well per day, and I'm always very in touch with my energy levels. So if I'm tired one day, then and I can't function properly, then for me, it's intelligent for me to stop work, have a rest, and then come back and do the job. You know, that if you're tired, it can sometimes take you 45 minutes because you get distracted, or it's just you can't think properly. So I would rather, if I can do the job in 10 minutes and I'm productive when I'm not tired, then I'll choose that option instead. So I have the flexibility to do that. I know that some others wouldn't, especially if you're working in a big company, or you know, you're working for yourself. It's very different. But if you're working for others, it's not, you don't often have that choice. But other things I would do is I always meditate first thing in the morning for an hour. And I can get through the day, but I'm just a lot more tired at the end of the day. I just find my energy levels are so much higher if I've had a really good deep sit in the morning, which is what I do pretty much the first thing is as soon as I get out of bed. I just meditate for an hour. I go to the gym. So I always keep my fitness really as strong and as healthy as I can. I eat very clean. And I just always make sure I have time to relax and recover, you know, on the weekends. At the moment, I'm working sort of 9 to 5, which I've never done in my life, but it's purely only because my team are working on those hours, and it makes sense for me to have overlap in the time of when we all work together, because otherwise it just makes life a little bit more tricky, even though sometimes I do end up working on the weekends. But try and limit that as well, because you need time to recover. And just make sure you have enough fun and, you know, socializing and just normal stuff. I don't do anything, you know, unordinary, if that makes sense. I find that when you're in touch with yourself and when you're connected with yourself and others, that life can become pretty ordinary, but you're completely satisfied and fulfilled because you're so satisfied and fulfilled in yourself. So you're not looking for extremes and you're not looking for such interesting things that, you know, people would normally want to do. And yeah, I'm pretty easily pleased nowadays because I'm so satisfied. And also because, yeah, I'm healthy, you know, I'm always sort of cleansing or doing some kind of, not always, but regularly. I mean, once or twice a year I'm doing a cleanse or a detox and, yeah, just changing up my gym routine or doing different movement or, you know, different cardio. So I tend to change things up a lot as well. But, you know, there's the general thing. I meditate, I eat well, I sleep well if I can. Sometimes it is a little bit hard because of the technology all around now. I do find it a little bit harder to sleep. And also when you're running a business, it's bloody stressful, you know. You've got 10 people at you all day, every day, and then the rest. And, you know, you got days where I just have back-to-back meetings. It's intense, you know. So consequently, in the nighttime when you need to sleep, sometimes you can't because it's like, oh, I forgot about this, or if we go down that direction, then something this is not going to work. And you know what it's like. It's not easy running a business, and certainly not as easy, I don't think, as people make out. There's a certain level of sort of stress, I would say, or tension that is required to run a big business. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think being an entrepreneur is the best way to level up your spirituality and understanding yourself. There's been no change in myself than choosing to be a business owner, even just with a small practice like I have. Even just this little teeny business that I have by myself with an assistant, the amount of self-growth that I've seen from choosing to do that is so much more than if I didn't choose and I just kept working for other people.
Yeah, well, you're constantly, when you're in business, especially in this sort of business that I'm in, I'm constantly hitting up against my limitations. And those limitations are really the only limitations that you have, and they're the limitations within yourself. So
exactly.
Every time you hit up against those, you literally have to sit back, look at yourself and go, okay, what is it that is holding this up? What is it in me that needs to budge so I can keep moving forward? Yeah, how can I grow? How is this related back to my self-development? And how is, you know, when it's affecting people around you as well, then you tend to take it more seriously as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I even see that with my partner. Like, he had so many self-destructive behaviors before we met. And after meeting me, being in a serious relationship, he was like, if you weren't around, I just would have done this and not cared and let it go. And I'm like, oh, you just didn't hold yourself to any sort of standard. We both were a mess when we met. So we've done a lot of work together. But yeah, I think that's just human nature, is to make sure the people that you are supposed to be taking care of are taken care of. And a lot of times we have to do a lot of like, oh, my impulse was to act like that, but because I have this responsibility and this new discipline, I'm actually going to make a new choice.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that you can that you know that you taking responsibility becomes in some ways bigger because you're in a relationship with somebody. That's what relationship does for us, doesn't it, really? It holds us up a little bit higher than we probably normally would, and also gives us the chance to actually help others or help your partner or whoever else it is you're in, whoever you're in relationship to, you know, lift their game a bit as well. So yeah, that's the good thing about relationships, isn't it?
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, tell everyone where to find your app and where to find the support that you guys provide.
Yeah, so you can just go to app stores and just put in the search Undo app, natural meditation. Undoapp.com is the website. And we also have another website called Quiet Retreats, which I didn't really speak about, which they can have a look at as well. It's linked in with the Undo app website. And we're on Instagram and YouTube. Getting a pretty good YouTube following. And also we've got a Telegram channel as well, which you can join. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait to try the app. It sounds right up in alignment with what I'm kind of already doing. And the body-based stuff was for sure the best thing that I've ever done, was getting out of my head and starting to learn how to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, so grounding. And it sets you up, you know, like it's something that you can just carry with you throughout the whole day. You don't have to don't have to think about anything. You just feel inside your body. It's so simple, but it is so powerful. It's amazing how powerful it is. And yeah, we're getting reports back in from, or reviews back in from people now. And when we built the app, we thought, if it has like 10% of the effect that when somebody sits on a long meditation retreat, we'll be really happy. And people are just like, some people are going off into the woods and sitting in a cabin for 3 months with the app and coming out with like their shoulders are better, or they've, you know, had a big injury and they're just a completely new person. So it's super, super powerful. And I just thought I'd mention too, we actually wrote a white paper as well. So all of the science freaks out there, they can read the white paper, and there is, you know, a kind of a scientific aspect to it as well.
Okay. Awesome. Is that on the website or on the app?
Yeah, it's all on the website. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, awesome. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
Not really. I think we had a pretty good conversation there, and we covered a lot of aspects, didn't we? So I'm happy to have been talking with you, and yeah, we can talk again anytime you like.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, good. And thanks for doing what you're doing as well.
You're welcome. And thank you everyone for listening. Hope you have an awesome rest of your day. Bye. Thank you, everyone. I am just so thrilled that you're listening to the Healer Revolution podcast. This has been a huge passion project for me and super therapeutic on top of that, helping me to use my voice and connect with other like-minded individuals. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please like and subscribe. Please share on social media or with your audience or friends or loved ones. I truly appreciate it. It does take a lot of time and financial costs to run the podcast, and it is not a moneymaker, let me tell you. So if you are enjoying this, I would truly appreciate your support just by sending me a post, a like, and a subscribe. Thank you so much.